Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns. And together, we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome back to this week's episode of Living Fullness. We hope you've enjoyed the episodes that you've watched or listened to so far. We're really keen to jump into conversations today, but before that, it has been a little while since we've sat down, Padre, because you've been a little unwell.
I have.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better now. Yeah. I got tested for COVID earlier in the week, and thankfully that all came back negative, so I'm well. I'm feeling heaps and heaps better now. Yeah, I'm not I'm no longer sick. I've been confined to my room because we live in a seminary. Sickness just spreads through this place like wildfire. I've been confined to my room, and my boss has been like, we'll bring you meals, we'll bring you food, we'll bring you drink, just don't infect us. Okay, all right, fine.
Do they have to suit up and throw some things under the door?
I reckon they would if they could. It's
is there a little latch on the bottom of your door?
Don't let him out. How about for yourself? I mean, other than that, I've actually been going well, but how about
good.
Yourself?
Yeah, good. No, I've been well. I've had work and, yeah, things have been pretty good. It is soaking here in Wagga this weekend.
Yes.
Which is kind of nice. I kind of like the rain.
Yeah.
And we've had a bit of thunderstorm. So,
it's so good.
You know, a little bit of lightning here and there. It's a good show.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good.
Good. So, Padre, we have a rather difficult conversation to have. Today it's a little heavier than perhaps some of the other episodes that we've got planned. So just a heads up for anyone who's watching and listening that, yeah, it might just be a difficult conversation.
A bit of a tougher conversation, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So we are aware of that if we get a bit deep and you get triggered by some things and some memories of relationships and things like that. So today's conversation is about toxic relationships, which I think we'll be hard pressed to find anyone who hasn't had some experience.
Yeah, there is an example that I can think of immediately off the top of my head, which comes from a tertiary setting. So there were a group of people. By the way, when I say tertiary setting, I'm sure everybody knows what I mean when I say that, but just in case there's anybody who's a bit unsure. By tertiary, I mean university setting. In a tertiary setting, there were a group of people who were really united by their hatred of others, and they found pleasure in sowing seeds of disunity and backbiting, gossip, lies. You know, and people in the community began to be at one another's throats. And sort of when they really stopped and asked why, they couldn't quite figure out why they were at each other's throats, really. It was, you know, overall it was sort of lies and falsehoods that had been sown about this one and that one. And so when one confronted the other had no idea what they were being confronted about. And so it really grown into a massive
monster.
Massive problem, monster of a thing.
Wow.
And I had just started chaplaincy
at this
particular juncture, and I was like, okay, this is fun.
Wow. So you walked straight into that then?
I walked into it, yeah, headlong. And eventually, those that were responsible were exposed and promptly expelled.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was serious enough to result in an expulsion, not without giving them the appropriate or offering to them the appropriate help that we thought they might need as well. But it was clear that we could no longer have them living in the same place as the rest of the residents. It wasn't going to work.
It sounds to me, though, then, that, you know, this wasn't just a one-off behaviour then.
It was a repetitious, yeah.
Which I guess is where our conversation around toxic relationships comes from. It's not this idea that if someone does something that can be deemed toxic once off, that therefore they're, you know, a toxic person as such, right? You know, we were talking about this before, that I don't believe that we have toxic people. I think we have toxic behaviours, and therefore we have toxic relationships, and behaviours can be changed, and therefore relationships can change.
Right, exactly.
For the better and for worse, but they can change. So it sounds like, with your example there, Padre, that these were well and truly ongoing behaviours that were quite unhealthy.
Yeah, unfortunately,
Just thinking about, you know, it's well and good to say we have toxic behaviours and we have toxic relationships, but how do we know, like how do we recognise what is a toxic behaviour or what is a toxic relationship? What might be some attributes, some characteristics that we might be able to pick up on, that we might be able to see? And I think you already mentioned a couple of the ones in your example there.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, one of the things that that I talk to my students about, my seminarians about, we go through the cardinal virtues, and when we're going through the virtue of justice, one of the things that we look at is injustice, and so the opposite of that virtue, and one of the injustices that we look at is the injustice of backbiting and envy, and I think these two behaviors are often found and linked together very heavily, sort of in toxic relationships where there is a disdain for someone, or a dislike of a particular group of people, or alternatively, a desire to manipulate in some way, even if that desire is unconscious, I suppose, that, you know, there's this sort of backbiting and envious behavior where someone seeks to destroy the reputation of somebody else, talking ill of them, or spreading sort of lies and things like that. This is backbiting really out of envy, you know, wanting to destroy someone's relationship or someone's reputation, simply because there is an unhealthy envy that sits beneath that apparent friendship. I think that comes up in toxic friendships or so-called friendships. They're not really, are they?
No.
You know,
but they are a form of relationship.
They are a form of relationship, though. So this sort of thing, I think, comes up frequently in toxic relationships where there are two people, one who is kind of taking advantage of the other in this way, and, you know, speaking ill of them, in order to get ahead, I suppose, in their perceived way, or in order to get something that they think that they lack.
Yeah, definitely in order to gain something for themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure, for sure. You mentioned lies there too, which I think is another classic one that we see. And, you know, even just thinking about my own experiences of friendships that I've had with people, that it might be a lower level friendship, might not be very, very close, but we know when someone's lying, generally, unless they're very, very good at manipulating. And then that's a whole other kettle of fish. Yeah. But generally we know if we're hanging out with them for long enough, we'll be able to pick up, well, this isn't actually consistent with what they're saying and with what their behavior is like and what we've heard from other people or what we've seen and experienced ourselves. So we can sort of pick up the lies. But, you know, there are some relationships where I go, well, I know that that's a lie, but I'm just going to look over that.
Yep.
I may not necessarily tackle that head on. So definitely lies is something that can crop up quite easily and can become part of a toxic relationship. But then there's also, you know, and these are blatant lies that I'm speaking of here. But then there are also things like, you know, really talking yourself up. You know, really playing out that you have these abilities. And maybe you truly believe that you actually do have these abilities and you're not intending to harm the other person as such. But if it's not rooted in reality, And if you're not able to actually follow through, then something is amiss.
Yeah.
Amiss there. So maybe you don't want to call that a lie, but maybe it is. Maybe that's all it actually is.
Yeah.
It is another lie.
It's just a lie, yeah.
With all these other things that are layered over the top of it. But also things like, you know, being unreliable. Like saying you're going to do something and then not following through with that.
Yeah.
Again, action and behavior.
Yeah.
These things need to go together.
Yeah. Yep. And there can be, in a way, I think there's a kind of toxic relationship that can exist where somebody doesn't actually fully intend to engage in a toxic behavior. It's just there is an immaturity there that causes a repetition, which has a toxic effect, and that impacts the relationship negatively.
Definitely. Another big one, gossip.
Mm.
What about that?
Yeah. Telling someone something that isn't ours to tell.
Yeah.
Speculations, lies, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. It's interesting. I like the fact that gossip is defined by not just telling lies, but also telling something that is not mine to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's important because something might be true, but just because it's true doesn't mean it's ours to say.
Mm.
You know, and so gossip is definitely one that can be part of a toxic situation. I remember my mother telling me a story. Mums have 1,000 stories that they tell and share, and
especially Mrs. Burns, and they're really good ones.
My mum doesn't know how to use YouTube, so she's
probably, she will.
I remember telling me a story that there was it's a fable really that there was a woman who went to confession and confessed gossip. And the priest said, for your penance, now a priest would never give this penance, don't worry. The priest said, for your penance, take a pillowcase and tear it apart and let all the feathers, you know, smash it and whack it until all the feathers come out. And then go and pick all of those feathers back up. And she said, Father, that's an impossible penance. I couldn't do that. Once the feathers are gone, they're scattered all over the place. And he said, right. That is exactly what happens when we gossip. You know, we say things and it goes all over the place. And even though we may wish to take it all back, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes the feathers have gone so far that there is nothing that we can do to take that thing back.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So gossip can definitely be one of those. And to bring a bit of scripture into it, James chapter 1, verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Worthless. Yeah,
I know. That's
quite harsh.
It is harsh. Why is he so harsh? I think it's because God has given us a tongue to glorify him who is truth itself. And if we use this tongue to perpetrate lies, we become traitors, for we set the organ created and entrusted to us specifically to espouse the truth. We set that organ at the task of spreading deceits and falsehoods, which are an affront to God, who is truth itself.
Mm.
And so that's why I think James is so so harsh on the matter. Is that God has given us a tongue to glorify him. And when we use it to tear down others, it's a kind of treachery.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, wow. Thinking about different ways that that might play out. You know, one of the examples I use in a Christian setting when we at Virtue Ministry have talks and workshops, and we'll travel to various schools and conferences and events and things like that. And and give various talks, and especially to the Christian ones, you know, one of the things I tend to bring up is we have the best of intentions when we tell someone, you know, could you pray for this person? They might be going through something really difficult at that time. You know, let's just for argument's sake say they're really ill and they're in hospital, have a health condition. And we go approach someone and we say to them, look, this person, Jane, is in hospital and she got admitted yesterday. She's suffering with this thing. Would you pray for that person? Yeah. And I think far too often we don't actually stop to ask, does Jane want the whole world to know that she's in hospital right now and that this is the condition that she's suffering with? Mm. Or I'm not suggesting that Jane might, you know, be offended that we're asking people to pray for her. But I think there's a way of doing that without divulging information that's not ours to share with everybody. A simple thing of saying, hey, I have a friend who's in hospital right now. Would you mind praying for this person?
Mm.
Or simply even further discretion would be to say, I have a private intention. I'm praying for a particular person. Would you join me in praying for that person? And as I tell people at these talks and workshops, it's not like God's going to go, oh, I hear your prayer, but I got no idea who you're talking about. You didn't mention the name. I don't know who you're talking about. I can't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
He already knows. He knows exactly. Yeah.
He's omniscient. He
knows exactly what's going on. So I think that's one of the things we as a Christian community can do better.
Mm.
It's just being aware of how much information we're divulging and whether it's actually ours to share.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well intentions and all, but whether it's ours to share.
Definitely, definitely.
Mm.
Stina, what about manipulation?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Manipulation can play out in all forms of relationships, but I guess in toxic ones, you know, any level of control that a person tries to have over someone is a form of manipulation. So that can play out in a whole host of different ways. You know, our most obvious ones are things like abuse. You know, that's a form of control. But then also in more subtle ways as well. So even things like peer pressure can be a form of manipulation. You know, anything that means that that if we try to leverage something, hold something over someone, you know, we might know something about them and we tell them that they need to do this or they need to behave like that or they need to say this and they should they should do this and say that and whatnot, simply to fit in or to be a part of or whatever the reasons might be. When we know full well what their values are and what their decisions are and we're trying to push them in a direction that doesn't actually gel with their values, then we're manipulating them in one way or another. And I think I can think of, you know, all sorts of different examples in school settings for peer pressure, but also in adult areas of life, especially in Australia with the drinking culture that we have. Alcohol, for example, can be a huge peer pressure.
Yeah, right, yeah,
instigator.
Of course.
Mm.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. We're all doing it. Why aren't you?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. This, you know, especially when our culture is very much, in Australia, it's very common if you go to any sort of event that alcohol is involved.
That's right.
Which I can see coming from having in my younger years been brought up in a Norwegian culture and going back and visiting that from time to time. Alcohol is not as prolific. You can actually go and have dinner and just everyone have soft drink over dinner and no one has a glass of wine. That's quite normal, whereas it would be very strange in Australia if you invited someone over and there wasn't a glass of wine or there wasn't a beer involved. Like, that would be very strange.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
And I guess these behaviours too, and there's so many other behaviours that we could talk about, all sorts of different things that we could think of, which actually, if there are other ones that you can think of, other examples or other characteristics of toxic relationships that you can think of, jump onto our Facebook page, our Facebook group, Living Fullness, and let us know what your thoughts are, what your examples are, what your experiences have been. We do want to be able to converse with you, so
yeah.
Use that platform, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, yeah.
And of course, these behaviors, these relationships have an impact on us too.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Definitely.
They definitely leave us dissatisfied.
Yeah, yeah, they do. You're absolutely right. We lack peace.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's good friendships. I mean, I think about our own.
Mm.
A good friendship leaves us with a sense of peace and joy. Because a good friendship is generally a reminder that when all is said and done, we're loved infinitely by God. You know, and so there is a sense of peace and joy even amidst the difficult patches of life. There's a sense of peacefulness and joy. My Spanish heritage is coming out right now.
For those of you listening on our podcast, Padre's just using his hands to express what's going on. It's going everywhere.
and you know, so there is that sense of peace and joy, even amidst the turbulent moments. But I think in toxic friendships, instead of peace or joy, we feel drained, confused, hurt, a strange sense of guilt even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think those leave us genuinely dissatisfied, and we can see that the fruits of the Holy Spirit aren't really being born in that friendship. It leaves us empty.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and that's a great indicator too.
Yeah.
When those, yeah, we could go into a whole other, or we could go into a whole other thing here. But that's so true. When those fruits aren't present, and not just in a, because you can have moments where there is a lack of peace or
definitely.
A lack of joy or for various situations and circumstances. But if that becomes what is always there, then that is probably a really good indicator that there's something not right.
For sure.
About this friendship or this relationship. Well, that takes us to the end of part one of this episode.
Yeah, it seems like a good place to break. And it's a very heavy topic, as we said at the beginning. So being able to split this into two is probably helpful.
Absolutely. So make sure you check out part two for the rest of the episode.
Excellent.
We'll see you then.
See you then.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it and found it helpful, please rate our podcast and share it with someone. That just might help someone else find this podcast too. So that we can best serve you, we want to get to know you. Let us know your thoughts, comments, and questions either by joining the Living Fullness Facebook group at Virtue Ministry or our Instagram page, also at Virtue Ministry. We'll catch you again on Wednesday next week for a new episode on Living Fullness. Until then, know of our love and prayers.